Now, let me introduce what I'm going to talk about. You know me. I like doing things a little differently when I'm up here and I get a chance to speak and preach. And, you know, I always got something different going on. No different this time. Just don't have the props. But here's the thing. I've had the honor, well, the privilege, actually, to be asked to be served for the past 6 months, to be asked to serve on an evangelism task force for our association, the Central Kentucky Network of Baptists. And past 6 months, we've been pulling out records, looking at a lot of different things, from memberships, baptismals, just the population, and just a lot of different figures. And we've been trying to put things together just to see how our association as a whole, which is 111 churches, are doing in evangelism. Well, I've been talking to Stephen. I've been asking, man, we just presented this past Monday at our executive committee meeting, association meeting. And I said, this is something churches need to hear. So I'm sorry Stephen is sick, but thank you at the same time. It gives me a chance to share this. But I was looking at this, and one thing, students, if you're a middle school, high school, or any other students, I'm going to do something I tell you all not to do. So I do go ahead and apologize in advance. I'm going to have to use my phone on this because of some notes that's from this meeting. Here's the interesting part with this task force is I'm with 9 other pastors. There's 10 of us total, and also David Stokes, who's the DOM, Director of Missions, for the association, as well as P.K. Spratt, who works with Lifeway. And we're all working together through this. Now, one of the things we was trying to focus on while doing this is to focus on our own Jerusalem, meaning, are you focusing on, or is churches focused on the surrounding communities around them? Think about it. So that's our own Jerusalem. That's who we're here to reach, right? Start small, go out big. But here's the thing. This is a good thing. The population in our association, which is 9 counties, which includes the 3 counties that are probably growing faster than any other county in Kentucky, which is Fayette County, Scott County, and Jessamine County in population. Our population has grown in the past 20 years 24.4%. That's pretty good, right? I mean, people are actually coming into Kentucky. But we have a problem. Let me ask y'all this. I'm going to get y'all's honest opinion. If you want to raise your hand, you can. Probably nobody will, but I'm going to ask you anyway. How many of y'all think that the church today, our association, is doing pretty well? Think it's doing all right? Everybody's scared to raise their hand now, isn't it? Mm-hmm. All right. Doing pretty well. We had a few raise their hand. Here's something that's really interesting with this. I'm going to read some things to you. In the past 20 years, this is our association as a whole. 31.1%, there's been a 31.1% decrease in residential membership. Decrease. There's been a 26.6% decrease in baptisms. There's been a 6% decrease in worship attendance. There's been a 32.4% decrease in Sunday school and small group and Bible study attendance. Now, if we want to look on the bright side, you know, there's not a huge change in worship attendance. But let's put the meat to it. Everything else that actually matters, and I'm not saying worship does not matter, it does matter. It does matter. But the problem is this. Everything else is decreasing, so what is that saying? Oh, we got to go to church on Sunday morning, but I'm good. That's what it's saying. After that, I'm good. I'm set. I got my worship in. Yes. Guys, here's the thing. We brought this report to the association at this meeting also to also come up with some recommendations on how we're going to, what our recommendations are to help fix this issue. 2 weeks before this past Monday, which was the executive meeting, we sat down and met for the last time before this meeting. Our whole purpose was to spend about 10 to 12 hours that day sitting in a room trying to come up with recommendations. We did not come up with any. The Lord wouldn't let us. And the reason why is this. Bill Bolt, he's a pastor at Southern Heights in Lexington. He said something that hit me harder than just about anything. He says, how in the world can I, as a pastor, come up with recommendations to help churches if I'm failing myself? Think about that. So what this report is saying with us, just with the decreases that we're seeing, is the fact that as pastors, we're failing. As believers, we're failing. What it is, we're losing our urgency for the gospel, for the lost. We are actually pastors. We are actually trying to do things ourselves rather than allowing God to be priority and allowing God to be in front, be on the front line with us, and we're working, he's working through us. So there's a lot of things that come out of us. Now, when you look at it that way, let me ask this. How many of us are actually, well, let me ask this. How many of y'all consider yourself a Christian? Raise your hand. Oh, y'all just set yourselves up. How do we call ourselves a Christian if we're failing at every aspect of worshiping our Father and our Lord and doing what he commands us to do? Think about it. I'll read you something. Let's go to Matthew real quick. Matthew 7. Now, everybody agrees Revelation is kind of a scary book, right? It is. It's hard to figure out. But to me, here's the scariest verses in the Bible. The scariest for me. Matthew 7, go to verses 21. And it's 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Now, that's Christ saying this, okay? Understand, that's Christ. So if we think about these numbers, and we're going back to see what we're doing as a whole, and the reason why I brought out these scriptures, because that's scary to me. That is absolutely terrifying to me to say my whole majority of my life, I've been saying I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, but then Jesus is also saying this. There's going to be a lot of people that's going to say, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus Christ, but they will never see the gates of heaven. Think about that. That is absolutely scary. And here's what scares me more. Every day, I hear this all the time. I'm talking about myself as well. For myself, how many times have I went through life telling people that I'm a believer? And that I'm a Christian? But yet I have no fruit to show for it. One of the things we must understand is this. Very clearly in Scripture, Satan is a believer. His demons are believers. You know why? Because they shudder at Jesus Christ. They know exactly who he is. Satan knows the gospel probably better than we do. So what my point is this, is where is the urgency? What are we doing as a whole? As pastors, we're failing. I feel like I do a lot of good things. But according to the numbers, it doesn't show. Here's something I want to share with you. 20 years ago in our association, there was one worship attender to every 33 residences. So how many is in average residence? 4 people? Today, there's one worship attender between every 44. Ouch. Now, we're talking about population. So we went through and we got talking, figuring up some numbers. We took out, looked at the populations of mainly, we just right now is just Fayette County, Scott County, and Jessamine County. Okay? We took out membership rolls from the church. So we wiped those out. Still, to this day, to today, today's date, number of lost, that ones, and what we say is lost, meaning the ones that don't attend church, that really, they're out there. Just under 441,000 in population. Guess how many baptisms we had last year in 2018? Okay, remember, 441,000, all right? We had 537 baptisms reported in the whole association. Now, hear me out. I thank God and I praise God every day for those 537 because they came to know Christ. All right? But at the same time with that, that means the church is having 0.013% impact on its local communities. Statistically speaking, there is zero impact from the church on the community. Now, if I'm reading this correctly, if the church is having absolutely no impact on the surrounding communities, what does that mean we're doing? And like I said, I'm throwing the pastors out here first and foremost on this one as well. But I'm also throwing every believer. If you call yourself a believer, guys, there got to be some changes made. You're talking 0% impact. Zilch. And actually, Chris and I've been working with Chris Jones on this a little bit too, and we kind of put it in dollars a little bit, just to give it a little better understanding, because everybody likes money. Everybody knows money. Everybody knows how to work money, right? So basically, last year, compared to the population, to the amount of baptisms, the whole association made 73 cents for the whole year. Now, when's the last time y'all was able to make a pretty good living off 73 cents? Guys, that's the point. We are settling. You ever heard the word apathy? We're not doing nothing. And one of the things that was pointed out by P.K. Spratt, who's one of the Lifeway guys, he said, the sad part is a lot of us are saying that we're doing all this, we're doing all this, we're doing all this, but apparently right there it shows very clearly that none of it's working. And here's how I look at apathy. When I was in seminary, you know, I love to read. No, I'm lying. I don't, but I make myself do it because I need to. But when I was studying for tests in classes, I had plenty of them, papers, tests, all this stuff, plenty of them to do. So I always study. I study hard. And, you know, we all get to a point, even when you're in school, you study and study and study. You get to that point where, all right, I'm good. I am good. I know everything, so I'm ready to rock this test out and let's roll. And then you do what? You literally stop. The problem is with that is the same thing that we're doing today. We are relying on curriculums, events, pastors, to do all the work so we don't have to. But is that biblical? Last time I checked, Matthew 28, Great Commission, 19, what does it say? We ought to go to make disciples of what? All nations. It doesn't say just for one of us to do it. It says for all of us to do it. How many are alive? Let me ask, how many are alive? Raise your hand. If you don't raise your hand, we got problems. Y'all here, right? Y'all made it here. So guess what that means? That means there is a purpose. There is a purpose God has in your life to glorify, in a way to glorify Him, to reach other people. Not to sit here in a pew, go home, and go back to your everyday life. That's what that means. And the thing is, even today, as I'm speaking this, I'm throwing out these crazy numbers. Some of y'all are going to be like, it's not that bad. I'm doing everything I can do. Problem is, if we're doing everything we can do, then why every year for the past 20 years, baptisms has been dropping? And I'm talking substantially. 2001 was the last time we broke over 900 baptisms in a year. 927. From there on, it has skyrocketed downhill to 537, and the trend is it's going to keep going that direction until we get God back in the picture. Scary, isn't it? And the funny part is, at the end of the service this morning, the early service, you could hear a pin drop on the carpet. But sometimes we've got to be woken up. Sometimes we've got to be woken up. Guys, we're not doing what we need to be doing. None of us are. It's great. And one of the things I've been talking with students, I mentioned to some of the students, and I've actually had the opportunity, now I'm going to be doing some discipleship with some parents that are coming during the day, is this. And here's where it got me. It kind of blew things up for me a little bit. My mind was kind of baffled a little bit. It kind of scared me too. We have all this knowledge. How many of y'all have been coming to church most of your life? You know, raise your hand. A lot of you have. All your life been in church. You have all this knowledge. You know it, right? You heard it. You know the stories. You know what God says. A lot of y'all can quote scriptures better than me, which is fine. But what good is it to have all this knowledge up here if we don't know how to apply it in our lives, to understand how God's wanting to use us? There's a separation coming somewhere. And when I opened my eyes to this, I had a mother come to me this week, wanted to meet with me. And she said the same thing. So I'm in Bible studies, I'm in small groups, I come to worship. I've been in church my whole life, I've had all this information given, but here's the thing that got me. But how do I lead others to God? I know it, but how do I do it? The thing is, we must realize discipleship is not a means of sitting in a pew on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or a Sunday night and say, that's good enough. Discipleship is sitting down with people face to face and you speaking the gospel and you sharing your own testimony and you're sharing how God has worked in your life and has dealt with your issues and has dealt with your sin, and you're sharing that good news with somebody else that does not know him. Discipleship is also doing the same thing with each other as believers and help grow in our faith with our Lord to build that relationship. Church, these numbers show we're not doing that. What it's saying that, and I'm going to use this church, Central Baptist, as an example here. What it's saying is that 99% of us are going to go out these doors after this, and we're not going to think twice about it. We're going to go back to our everyday, normal routine, because we're routine-minded people, and we're not going to make a change. I'm happy. I'm satisfied. I'm good. But y'all hear what the first word was of those? I. The problem is, our faith, when we call ourselves a Christian, should not ever contain I. It should contain him. Because that's the life we're trying to lead, one that glorifies and honors him. So you think about that. Let that sink in for a minute. Now, I realize this makes everybody feel really bad, right? I tell you what, being in a room of 10 pastors that's been doing this a lot longer than I have, that are down on their hands and knees, absolutely bawling their eyes out because they realize on how bad we have failed as a pastor. How we've allowed such sugar-coated gospel to enter our churches that everything is all roses and rainbows. Yes, we serve a God of love, but we also serve a God that is jealous and he wants us. We serve a God that wants a relationship with each and every one of us on an individual basis. He doesn't want you as a group. That group happens when more people come to him. He wants you as an individual to love him, to glorify him, and to honor him with your lives through your mouth, through your actions, so that other people may see him. That's discipleship. It's like calling a mission trip a mission when now you go to others to serve people and you don't share the gospel. Let's call it for what it is. It's needed. Everybody needs help, right? We can go work on homes. That's a good thing. But that's not a mission trip. That's service. Let's call it for what it is. A mission trip is actually speaking the gospel to somebody. That's a mission. And I'd be willing to ask this, and including myself, I'd be willing to ask this to everybody in here. When's the last time you actually shared the gospel with a person? Or do you rely on the whole, oh, you can come to church with me, I invite you to church. Church is not working. Yes, we need the church. We need to be here. We need to be coming together to worship our Lord and Savior, but church, where does the actual meat of our faith come? It comes out here, outside of this building, us getting out into communities, sharing the gospel, and trying to make a difference for the Lord. And being a tool that He's used. Last time, not the last time I preached, but the time before. Y'all remember the sermon I gave? I had these big old massive boxes up here. I'm sure you probably remember them if you were here. But I had one labeled, I had a box over here, had Jesus on the front of it. Second one here had technology, another one had relationships, another one had like personal wants, work, whatever, as on here. And the reason why I put that on here, I was going to show you all something. Here's the thing. We try to juggle everything in our lives. It's a juggling act. We got so many different things thrown in from there and here, and our hands going crazy. And I remember I picked up three boxes. I stacked them up. I'm talking about some big old boxes. I picked up these three. You couldn't even see me. And the problem was I had no room to carry anything else in my hands. And the thing, guess what I left on the floor? Jesus. Because Satan has done exactly what he intended. We all think, just like the Jews did back in their day with Christ, when they thought the Savior was coming, they thought it was going to be somebody coming on a horseback, wielding a sword. We think Satan's going to come into this world, and he's going to just be blazing a sword, killing and destroying everything. But guess what he's done? He's here. He's been here. He has snuck behind everything. And he's caused fear. He's got us so busy with everything else of the world that now all of a sudden, guess what? We got all this stuff in our hands, but we leave Jesus standing right here. And here's the interesting part. Once we realize that and we decide to put some of these other things down to get Jesus back in our life, he's still going to be standing there because he never leaves us. Church, we have got to start getting on the ball, including myself. We got to quit relying on excuses. I don't have time. We all do have time. I promise you this. You can make time. And we got to start getting out there for the glory of the Lord. Share the gospel. Numbers are showing the things that we're doing is not working. People are still lost. And it's not getting better. And you think about it, just think about how many we got in here? Probably, what, 270, 280? Think of one of us, each one of us, that you call yourself a believer. All y'all know one person that you know that needs the Lord. Why don't y'all just try it? I'm not saying to go out here and land blast them with the gospel. They need to hear it. But why don't you start out getting to know them and build a relationship with them? That one person. And then allow that to come to the point where it introduces the gospel. It opens the doors for you where you all of a sudden you can come in and say, all right, Lord, I see what you're saying. They need to hear it. Churches, we're failing. And I hate to be so negative and look at it so negatively, but let's just put it out there the way it is. We're failing. And I would say it's not something that we can just look at it and recover real quickly. But the problem is we've lost God in the picture. We've got to get God back first. He can change us completely around. He can turn it around, God. But we have got to be able to stand up, quit calling ourselves a Christian and sitting our butts in a pew. And that's it. The work is out here, not in here. We worship and praise our Lord in here, but the actual discipleship and the evangelism goes on out here. We got a community all the way around us, just in Bourbon County. I threw some figures together. Just in Bourbon County. We'll make it a little more real. This is a high guesstimate. I'll say a guesstimate. It was a guesstimate we did. About 3,000 people out of Bourbon County are in church, or in a church this morning. And that's probably a little high. That doesn't mean Baptist church. That means in a church. And our population is about 20,000. It has not declined. It has pretty much been steady for the past 20 years. So that means there's 85% of Bourbon County that's lost. That are not involved in church, probably have no interest in it. But yet there's 3,000 people that are, that hear the same message, but nothing is being done. Parents, let me throw this at you. I get a lot of parents that say, yeah, my daughter or my son need to be in church. I get it all the time. Yeah, they do. I'm glad you're thinking that way. But what are you doing about it? How can you expect your kids to be involved and active and with the Lord if they're not seeing you in the same position? How do you expect them to come to church if you're not here? Grandparents, your job's not done. I know we retire, but last time I checked, there's no retirement plan in the Bible. That retirement plan comes when we're dead, right? When the Lord calls us home. That means you still got purpose. You still got a reason to be doing, to be here, and to go out and share the gospel. Keep doing it. About done. Now, last thing is this. Don't treat the word Christian and believer as an empty word. I think too often we do that. Too often we'll tell people real quick, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. It's just an empty word without the fruit, right? We got to start taking more pride in our faith. We got to start taking more pride in our Lord and Savior. Because like I said, Satan is a believer. He knows this gospel. But we got to start looking at this with the bigger picture. This is not about Central Baptist Church. This is about his whole kingdom. And every one of us are asked to go out and make disciples. It's not a choice. It is a commandment. He didn't say if you want to. He said, this is what you have to do. And if we're not doing that, how can we call ourselves a believer if we're not willing to follow our Lord and Savior and what he commands us to do? Listen to 1 John. 1 John 3. 16 through 18. But this we know, love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. He laid down his life for us, so we should be laying down our lives for others. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children. I like it how we're called little children. Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Guys, words are cheap without the actions and the fruit to follow. I can call myself a Christian all day long, but if I'm not willing to go out and be obedient to our Lord, my Lord and Savior, who I call my Lord and Savior, what good is it? I always keep in back of my head Matthew 7, 21 and 22. I pray every day, Lord, just help me to do what I need to do. Help me to reach people, because I really do not want to be that person, that believer that's going to be standing in front of you one day and you say to me, I don't know you because I don't have you here, because I wasn't obedient. So what were a recommendation that was given? On May the 6th, we've called a solemn assembly. a solemn assembly. And what they did, I don't know, anybody in here familiar with, ever been to one of those? I've never been to one. But while I'm hearing, it's pretty absolutely incredible. So May 6th, there's a flyer on my board. If you want the information. We're calling for all believers. All believers, it's a repentance service. That's for us all to come together to repent for the fact that we've not put God in our lives. That God is not leading our lives. That God is not leading us on how we should be obedient to Him. That we're trying to do everything ourselves. As a church, as individuals. Because one day, we all die, right? You're not going to be up there with your best friend. Every one of us are going to be answering to Christ individually. Every one of us. And this is exactly the way the first service left out, really quiet. I'm hoping that's a good thing. But we've got to face the fact of where we're at. And right now, it's bad. It's not a good situation. Because we got a bunch of people throughout our association, and literally it's across the United States, that call themselves Christian, but there's no fruit. That's exactly what those numbers say. But we can change that. God can change that if we put Him back first in our life as a priority. Because it's not a choice. The choice we have is to follow Him or not. But if we choose to follow Him, it's not a choice to be obedient. We got to answer for that. So what we're calling is for all believers to come May 6th. All the information's on there. It says Psalm Assembly. And it's a service of repentance. Be on your hands and knees, repenting. Saying, God, I'm sorry. I have screwed this up. You are nowhere in the picture. I'm trying to do this myself. Even though it says pastors and leaders on that, guess what? As a believer, we're called to go out and make disciples. Last time I checked, that's all of us. So we're asking for all believers, as many as can come there, to repent. We've got to get God back in the picture. If we're going to see God, God's going to make it through it, but He wants to take us with Him. We just got to put Him first. And it starts here. Altar's open. We need to be praying. We need to be praying. And for anybody that does not know Christ, does not have a relationship in here, I pray that your eyes are open on how important it is to have God in your life. It's the difference between heaven and hell. Plain and simple. And I encourage you. I will be up here. I know Mickey will be up here. I know anybody else that's up. And if somebody else you'd rather talk to, go talk to them. Because what I hope this does is encourage you all. Guys, we got to have some urgency. We got to have some urgency for the lost. But if we can't have urgency for the lost, that we definitely means we don't have any urgency for God. And we got to have that urgency. We got to want to serve Him. So I want to pray. The altar's open. I invite people to come and pray. I'd love to pray with you. If you don't know Christ and you want to know Him, I'd love to introduce you. So I'm going to pray. And we'll have some music. Grace Heavenly Father, we just come to You. Father, we humbly come to You. Realizing, Lord, that we're failing. God, that we have been using a lot of cheap words, but yet there's no Holy Spirit moving. And Father, I pray for all of us that here today, Lord, and throughout our association, throughout the world, God, as Christians, Lord, that we really understand what it means to not just have the knowledge, but to learn to apply it, Lord. Because nothing happens unless, God, we take action, unless You use us as Your tool, Father. That we got to start getting our hands and our feet dirty and quit being scared and quit being worried about being offended. God, because Your gospel is meant to be offensive. Lord, it speaks against the world. And Father, and that's going to happen. Father God, I just pray, Lord, for each and every one in here, Lord. Even though as we're getting ready to leave here and we go out back to our normal lives, Lord, Father, that we really sit down and take a look at ourselves and ask, are you really in the picture? Is there too much I in our lives? But Father, we just pray, God, the Holy Spirit move. Father, that lives will be changed, God. That we'll see that we'll desire that urgency to get out here and reach those, give the good news to those that need to hear it. And Father, and that people will come to know you. Father, I just pray for every individual in here, Lord. Whether it's a child, whether it's a middle schooler, high schooler, a college kid, adults, grandparents. It doesn't matter who it is, Lord, that you have a purpose and a will for each and every one of us, Lord, that we can make a difference through you, Father. We just pray you work through us. And I pray for anyone in here, Lord, that doesn't know you. God, that you put a weight on their heart, Lord, to come to the realization of who you are. Please allow the Holy Spirit move today. For we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.